I covered both at the seminary and night courses, and during the and at the church there at Antioch in three separate occasions, I went through a geological exposition of the second coming of Christ. And I talked about some things that were happening, would continue to happen, and let me know that while I could not name the exact year, date, and month that the Lord would come, I could make a case to prove that for the first time in history, it was very near. These are some of the statistics that I showed, but before I show you those statistics, I've updated them. Every year I update them. I updated them yesterday. And so I thought, well, I'll just show the church the update. The Olivet Discourse, the final predictions of Jesus. These things had to happen before he would come at the first resurrection for the saved. Now, there are a lot of things in prophecy you speculate on, you're not all that sure of, and the best thing to do is just tell people you aren't. But there are certain things that are, you know, are true, and a lot of them have already been fulfilled. These things had to happen before Jesus would come at the first resurrection for the saved. The temple of Herod had to be leveled. Jesus said so. It was fulfilled in AD 70 when Titus overran it. The Jews had to be carried into all nations as a conquered race. Jesus said it in AD 30. It began to happen in AD 70. It was fulfilled in AD 70 and completed in AD 135. Jerusalem had to remain under conquering Gentile feet for a numerically unspecified time. The temple was Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem was to be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That time of the Gentiles was for Jerusalem. It specifically states so in Luke 21:24. And that prophecy was specifically fulfilled. There's a difference between the times of the Gentiles for Jerusalem and the fullness of the Gentiles that's still to come in. The fullness of the Gentiles is the absolute end of the tribulation period. The times of the Gentiles for the city of Jerusalem in Luke 21:24 was to be accomplished when the Jews took it back from the Gentiles. It was fulfilled. It was continuous until June of 1967, steadily under non-Jewish control, which is Gentile control, and in June of 1967, for the first time, that prophecy was fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles for the city of Jerusalem ended. Old Jerusalem and her temple mound had to be recaptured by the Jews to end at the numerically unspecified time. It was recaptured in June of 1967. So at that time, I knew that the time was drawing nigh. I knew it was time for us to lift up our heads, for our redemption is drawing nigh. That's why I've done all these lectures. Since 1978, I've done about 800 different lectures in 21 different missionary Baptist seminaries. And believe me, there are that many and more if you consider it worldwide. And that's why I've been in about 800 seminaries and churches and doing these. It's not for the money. It's because I want God's people to understand whatever you're going to do with the Lord, for the Lord, or about the Lord, you better get after it. The number of worldwide earthquakes had to begin increasing like a woman's birth pangs. The God breathed the word Odin, where it says the beginning of sorrows in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They had to begin increasing like a woman's birth pangs. They never had in history. They had always been erratic. For the first time, the rise of nations following World War II. The number of worldwide nations had to begin increasing like a woman's birth pangs. They did. And they increased. Following World War II, they increased from the end of World War II to about 65. There are now about 200 nations on the surface of God's earth. The number of worldwide earthquakes had to follow a pattern like a woman's birth pangs. Never in history have they done that. They've always been erratic. But for the first time in history, they have shown a steady, constant increase since 1967. There had to be a pestilence and reaching epidemic proportions by spreading and increasing like a woman's birth pangs. We had never had any pestilence on the surface of God's earth. Pestilence is loimos, any deadly infectious disorder, until AIDS began to be recognized in 1980. Since that time, for the first time in history, it has constantly and continuously increased. There is no cure for it. We've learned how to slow it down some, but there is no cure for it. Nor do I expect a cure to be found for it, nor do I expect a 100% effective vaccine to be found for it. And so now, for the first time, we've got something that's increasing exactly like Jesus said, like a woman's birth pangs. Latest thing out is this infectious pneumonia or flu, they're not sure which, that's very deadly, and they don't have any medicine they can treat it with. The number of worldwide famines had to start increasing like a woman's birth pangs. In 1993, they began that pattern because for the first time in history, the actual amount of food on the surface of the earth did not exceed the number of people on the earth, and it's been steadily declining ever since, and the number of famines have been increasing constantly across the earth. All you have to do is pick up your newspaper, and you'll see how the famines have been increasing. This is the last thing. This is what I'm waiting for. When this comes, Katie, bar the door. Because God, I hope, has gotten the attention of people, whether they believe what I teach or not. Whether they believe that all these earthquakes and famines and pestilences that are increasing are an indication from God, you better get ready. Whether they believe it or not, and I hope they do, doesn't matter. Whenever this false peace comes in, then Katie bar the door. And that is the very time that most people are going to start thinking, oh, it's wonderful now. We're never going to have an Armageddon. We're never going to have a war. It's going to be wonderful. But it's not going to be wonderful, because that's the calm before the storm. That's what I'm watching for in Israel. And this war with Iraq is going to, I believe, set the stage for it. Now, to show you how earthquakes have increased, these are earthquakes 7 to 8 on the Richter scale in 7-year increments, reported by the U.S. Geological Survey from 1981 to 2002. In 1981 to 1988, we had 74 earthquakes between 7 and 8 on the Richter scale. 1998 to 1995, we had 88 that were 7 to 8 on the Richter scale. And from 1995 to 2002, we had 128. Now, these are the biggies. These are in 7-year increments. But we're going to take a look at all the earthquakes in every category just to show you it just isn't only with the big ones. These are all earthquakes. I mean, from the slightest tremor that they could find reported in the U.S. Geological Survey. And these are all of them from 1967, when the Temple Mount found a fault, fell to the forces of Mashadon and the Israeli troops for the first time in over 1,900 years. These are the steadily increasing earthquakes, all earthquakes, I mean from the smallest to the greatest, reported by U.S. Geological Survey across the surface of the entire earth through seismic tomography. From 1967 to 1974, that 7-year period, there were 34,348. 1974 to 1981, 43,334. Each one of these, incidentally, was a new world record. Each one of these was a constant, increasing new world record. We've never had anything happen like this before in the history of the earth. From 1981 to 1988, there were 72,034 earthquakes across the surface of the earth, all intensities that were reported by the U.S. Geological Survey. From 1988 to 1995, that 7-year period, there were 120,819. From 1995 to 2002, there are 146,030. Now, this is the update. This went right up to the year 2002. Now, let's take the statistics that were reported in 2002. 2003 update. Earthquakes average 20,861 per year from 1995 to 2002. That was the average of this figure right here. There were 25,404 reported in 2002. They're still increasing. Now, what does this tell me? It tells me the coming of the Lord's very near. It tells me whatever I'm going to do with the Lord, for the Lord, or about the Lord, I better get at it. For those of you that wonder why I'm so fanatical about doing these lecture series and running around with heart problems and everything else, it's for this reason. We don't have very long. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you could be wrong. Well, I realize that. But a man has to operate on his convictions. And I'm convicted and convinced that the second coming of Christ is in the near future. And I'm also equally convinced that God's children are not ready for it. And many of our churches are lollygagging around and treating it like it's something that's in the far distant future. Now, these are earthquakes 1 to 10. In other words, not all, but from 1 on the Richter scale to 10 on the Richter scale. And they're in 7, and they start back in 1948. From 1948 to 1967, in this period of time, and these are in 19-year periods, from 48 to 67, there were 1,726 earthquakes per year. From 1968, the Temple Mount fell in 1967. From 1968 through 1986, the average increased to 6,579 per year. And from 1987 all the way through 2001, right up to 2002, there were 18,179 per year. This is 1 to 10 on the Richter scale. Now, this is the update. There were 25,404 earthquakes in 2002. That far exceeds the average from 1987 through 2001 of 18,179 per year. Now, in the 2003 update, there were 25,404 earthquakes in 2002. This was a new record, a brand new world record. It's the greatest number of earthquakes, 1 to 10, that ever occurred on the Richter scale in the history of earthquake-keeping records. So the Lord has gotten my attention, convinced me that the second coming of Christ is near. Now, the reason I'm showing you all these different increments, some people will try to tell you, well, earthquakes aren't really increasing. It's because we have better seismological data. Our seismological information has not increased that efficiently within the last few years. Budget requirements and everything like that has not produced a tremendous increase for that reason. It's just happening because Jesus said it would. These are 0.1 to 5.0. We're going to take all the earthquakes from 0.1 on the Richter scale to 5.0. Take a look at it. 7-year increments. 1967 to 1974, 10,846. 1974 to 1981, 25,541. 1981 to 1988, 38,343. 1988 to 1995, 82,635. 1995 to 2002, 119,152. So why do I keep showing you all this? I want you to see this isn't just in one category. The earthquakes are increasing in all categories. These are the low categories, and I was going to take a look in a minute at the high categories. Now let's take a look at the mid categories. These are earthquakes that are 4 to 5 on the Richter scale. That puts them right in the middle. 4 to 5, 4 on the Richter scale to 5 on the Richter scale. Take a look at the number of these reported. 1967 to 1974, 9,651. 1974 to 1981, 19,068. 1981 to 1988, 26,590. 1988 to 1995, 31,747. 1995 to 2002, 54,463. Now, the average of this 54,463 from 1995 to 2002, earthquakes average 7,780 per year from 1995 to 2002. Now look how many there were in 2002, and this was a new record, new world record. There were 8,034 reported in 2002, 4 to 5 on the Richter scale. So this isn't a question of just selecting one category and showing that it's increasing. They're increasing. A few minutes ago, we went all the way from 1 up to 5, a 0.1 up to 5 on the Richter scale. Now let's go above that from 4.0 to 10.0, from 4 up to 10 on the Richter scale. 1967 to 1974, 15,704. 1974 to 1981. 30,151, 1981 to 1988, 37,999, 1988 to 1995, 43,202, and 1995 to 2002, 63,734. Now, 2003 update. Earthquakes averaged 9,105 per year from 1995 to 2002, and there were 9,217 reported in 2002. There is no question that the earthquakes are actually continuing. There is no question that they're real and that they're genuine, and I don't think there's any real question but what the second coming of Christ is on our very doorstep. People just simply don't understand about a lot of things that have to do with end time prophecy. Listen, for 23 years I have gone across the face of this globe. Do you think that as I've presented this from place to place, that it's found wide acceptance? Absolutely not. And I would not want to be in the seat, I would not want to be standing before Jesus Christ and have to answer for those preachers who are acting like that Jesus' coming is a long way off. I would not like to have to answer for those preachers that have cleverly avoided me and said all kind of things about me. I forgive them. There's no problem. And I'm not paranoid. I'm just a realist. But one of the greatest joys in my life is in knowing that whenever you do proclaim and try to warn God's people about the coming events, you're going to take flack like you wouldn't believe. And you're going to not be popular, and you're going to be disliked, you're going to be avoided, and you're going to have all kind of problems. Well, by the grace of God, He's left me many avenues to go through and to do these. I'm now writing for the seminary in Little Rock, a constant article. God opened the door for it. I've been writing for the Fresno Missionary Baptist Sentinel for some time. So I'm getting the word out and I'm warning people. Now for those of you that are members of this church, I dearly love you. Very, very much. I know you love me. I hope you understand why I continue to do these lectures. I do not enjoy physically doing them. I do not enjoy being physically separated from my family or being physically separated from you as a church. This year, I've made every effort to try and be back here on Sunday. And so far, for the rest of this year, I only have one meeting where I'm going to be away on Sunday. And that meeting's coming up, I think it's coming up in April. And that's the only Sunday that I'll be gone. Something just crossed my mind. I'm supposed to do a meeting out in Oklahoma. I just hope that it's not the 13th of April. Because if it is, I'm going to have to cancel a thing out because we've got some people coming up here to visit on the 13th. Kind of want to cancel it out anyway because the pastor there resigned. Whenever you go to a church where one pastor wanted to have you and you get some other fellow coming in, it's really rough because he may or may not like you and you have to smile and grin and bear it and get through it. But I would appreciate your prayers very much. My health is not good. I'm desperately trying to lose weight. I've lost about 10 pounds and I'm still working on it. And hopefully my health will improve. But if God willing, and this will probably be the last year I do these, Lord willing, we'll just have to wait and see. Because I think there are going to be some events that occur the last part of this year that are going to be earth-shaking. And when these events occur, I don't think these lectures will be needed anymore. I think I've done my job in the last 23 years, and I think it's rapidly drawing to a close. And my goodness, I've just about run out of anything to say. And that's unusual for me. So, isn't it, Cooney? It's very, you said yes, sir. You figured it would just, they'd eventually find a vaccination. But I went out on a limb and said they wouldn't. And so far, I've been right in what I predicted. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, what if you hadn't been right? Well, I'd have just quit mentioning it to you and tried the best I could to forget it. But it has steadily climbed. And by the end of 2001, we had about 40 million cases of people with HIV. This according to the United Nations Official Health Service release. We started this year not with 40 million, but we started 2003 with 42 million cases of HIV. That is the pestilence, the deadly infectious disorder. The world population passed 6 billion in October of 1999. And since that time, the famines have been increasing and ravaging all of Central Africa. They've been in North Korea. They've been in Bangladesh. They've been across northern India. And they're rapidly increasing. So Jesus is coming soon. All this doom and gloom, and I'm kind of known as that fellow that has a long gray beard and wears a sign on the front and one on the back, says the end is coming, and waves the flag, says Jesus is near. That's what I'm kind of looked upon as. But quite frankly, all this doom and gloom, I look forward to, because the doom and gloom lets me know that no matter how gloomy and how doomy it gets, that God's going to see us through it and that Jesus is coming. That means a lot to me. And I'm letting you out 5 minutes early. And don't you...